The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. We've had plenty of flat action over the weekend at Doncaster and the Curragh, most notably. But attention moves back to the jumpers on Monday. We've got cards at Chepstow, at Kempton and at Warwick to look forward to. Some good jumping as well. We're going to look at two races at Warwick as well as one at Kempton on this edition of the podcast. First things first, hello and a welcome to Mick Norton.
Good afternoon, Alex.
As I said, we've had a lot of flat action over the weekends. It is a bit funny that we now move back to jumping, isn't it? And it is sort of jumping all the way up to the National as well.
Yes, it's, as ever, a bit of a stop-start feel to the flat racing season. Doesn't really get going, the Craven meeting, I suppose, but that can be low tempo, can't it? And I don't know whether we're starting a bit early. Traditionally, we've always started with a Lincoln meeting, but wouldn't be a bad idea maybe to get the Grand National out of the way and then you have a proper decent start to the turf season, because it doesn't matter now because we've got all weather racing all the year round.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be a big deal, would it?
Nevertheless, good to see some of our old favourites back on the flats. Gabriel won the feature, if you like, the Lincoln, and did it well. It was a pretty good renewal of the race, wasn't it?
Well, we always say you need a group horse to win the Lincoln nowadays, and he was actually a listed winner over this course and distance back in April 2013. Went over to Dubai where he won off 106. He's got that top class form in the book, hasn't he? And you'd have thought he might be vulnerable to one or two of the slightly younger legs, the highly rated 4-year-olds from the Willie Haggis and John Gosden team. But he saw them all off, didn't he? And fair play to him.
And of course the Brocklesby, the first race, so hard to bet in, but plenty of pointers, and it wouldn't be surprising if, well, nearly all of those horses are winning a 2-year-old race at some time in the near future, because the experience that they gain in that race is invaluable, isn't it?
It certainly is. The problem with the winning the Brocklesby is the penalty structure is brutal. So basically they may well, I don't know what his plans are with him, but he may well wait for a pattern race upcoming and before we see him again, rather than giving huge penalties.
Well, you're almost better off finishing second, aren't you, and then going on to to win your maiden somewhere else.
Exactly. I mean, it might be better if it was the Brocklesby maiden, because it's a conditioned race, and the penalty structure makes it a brutal for the winner. But having said all that, he certainly knew his job, the winner, didn't he? And what a day for Mark Johnson, 2-year-old. And that only came about, you know, because Mark didn't think he was going to get as many of the green with the red hat horses this year, which he didn't get as many, but he did get some. So he went out and got a load of 2-year-olds. So he's going to have far more 2-year-olds, Mark Johnson, this coming flat race season than he's had in the past. He's always had his share, but he's probably got double the number of 2-year-olds than he's ever had.
I may be wrong on this, but I heard a figure being bandied about yesterday, 120.
2-year-olds.
That may not be correct, but I think that's what Darren Owen said.
Well, he'd know, wouldn't he? He's got his finger on the pulse at Midland.
Now, again, don't hold me to that.
Well, normally he'd have about 60, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but if that is the case, and they're going to run in the same form that we saw yesterday, then it's a frightening prospect. I think, was it just, there were 3 2-year-old races yesterday, and he had three winners?
3 out of 3. Mm. And the bewildering part about it was the last of the three, what the price that was allowed to go off
at Chelmsford,
and that was the easiest winner of the three.
No, I know, it's a funny one, isn't it? But certainly might pay to follow Mark Johnson's 2-year-olds. They're clearly working well, and I expect they'll go off no price, but
they know the job, didn't they?
But a winner's a winner. still haven't mentioned any racing from Maidan. Rather remiss of me. Mentioned the fact that we've got the Curragh, recording this before Sunday's action. We've got the Curragh to look forward to on Sunday. By the time you're listening to this, that'll have been and gone. But of course, Maidan, it was Dubai World Cup night, and the World Cup itself went to Prince Bishop under a really good ride from William Buick.
Well, he's not an easy horse, is he? He's got his issues, Prince Bishop, but Buick was at pains to keep him out of the kickback, which, I mean, we know he's got plenty of ability. Looked as if African Story is still accompanying, had the beating of him, but I think it was Buick's tactics that won the day, basically. Mm-hmm. Using the horse's weaknesses rather than his strengths to win it. Mm. Going at it from a lateral point of view.
Yeah.
Rather than his positives. By keeping him out of the kickback, basically dropping him out of the race completely.
He was way out the back, wasn't he?
And yeah.
But do you think it was a good ride from Buick or a bad ride on California Chrome, who just sort of was four wide throughout, waited, and in the end Buick just sort of penned him in, didn't he, as they turned in?
Yeah.
Didn't let him get first run and scampered clear.
There were brutal factions, weren't they? Espinosa was asking his horse, but then he knows his horse and he thought he was capable of it. I think more credit to Prince Bishop from wearing him down off those brutal factions. But the factions that California Chrome set saw the rest of them off.
Mm.
Okay, he couldn't kick again because he'd worn himself out, but he'd seen the rest off in good style. So
that's
I think it was all down to the brilliance of Buick on the day, in the conditions. And he's, as I said, he's ridden to the horse's weaknesses, not his strengths, which is brilliant.
Mm. More winners as well for the English and, well, the British and Irish contingent over there. Brown Panther, the globe-trotting Brown Panther,
he?
With a
that was absolutely
fantastic
brilliant.
Win.
Brilliant performance by Brown Panther, who kept his calm in the prelims and like last time we saw him. And the race was all over as a contest after 100 yards, wasn't it?
Yeah, really nice effort there. And Soul Power, who, one of my favourite horses, I must admit, I thought about backing him yesterday, gave him the swerve, and Richard Hughes comes back to bite me on the bottom once again. Was it 8-1 it returned?
Something like that. You can never leave him out.
8-1 in the morning.
You can never leave him out.
Let's have a look. 11-2. Crikey. Sorry. Yeah. 8-1 in the morning. Well backed. And again, really sort of straightforward ride, but done well. And it's the basics that jockeys like Richard Hughes do so well. And lovely horse, though, isn't he, Soul Power?
Yeah. That was his ninth attempt at the track, I think.
Yeah.
Three runners-up spots, but his first win in now. What a day to do it. And, of course, got to mention the French. You can never leave the French out of an international racist meeting, can you?
Mm.
And they doubled up with Solo and Dolnaya. And two fantastic performances. What a horse. That is Solo, since they dropped him back in trip. He's just probably the best mile and nine furlong horse around, isn't he?
Was devastating, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Just, beating the Grey Gatsby, who ran creditably, I suppose.
Probably over in an handicap trip for him nowadays. I mean, basically, he's run with plenty of credit against one of the best milers around. And I thought that was the only difference between them. And Dolnaya beautifully turned out, as ever, by Alain de Royer Dupre. I think they've probably got half an eye on the arc with her as the season goes on. Nice early start, so she'll probably have the traditional midsummer break and come back for the Arcs trial weekend and then the arc. But she's got all the qualities, hasn't she? She's a superb filly. We do know, she's been there before, and she was fifth, wasn't she? So she's stronger and better, and we know what a good record the fillies have got in the race.
Hmm. Okay, well, we'll move away from the flat then, and we'll move to the jumping action on Monday, and we'll start with the 3:25 at Warwick. We've got two races at Warwick and one at Kempton to look forward to. The first at Warwick, or the 3:25, the first race that we're going to look at, is a handicap chase over the extended 2.5 mile trip, a Class 2 event with 9 runners going to post. You could give chances to many here, though, Mick. Plenty of these arrive in good nick, and those that don't arrive in good form got plenty of backlash.
They have, but I'm just concentrating on the top of the handicap. The way it's headed by Mawaleshi, who's done me a few good turns this year. He was disappointing back hurdling. I don't know what that was all about. Why they took him to Ayr last time for a spin over hurdles? Because his strength over fences is his jumping, isn't it? And I think this Warwick track will suit him. Jonathan England's £3 claim is going to be a help with his big weight. Wasn't beaten very far off of this mark at Wetherby the time before, when he was a close third before he went hurdling. Slightly disappointed. Looked a bit one pace closer on, but I just didn't get the reasoning behind that trip up to Ayr for that hurdle race. So he'd be much happier back over fences, and I can see him really attacking those fences down the back at Warwick. And I think he's going to be very hard to beat, Manuel Leshy, despite conceding weight to the field. Horizontal Speed ran a blinder at the festival, didn't he, behind Harris Cavalier, finishing 4th of 20. He's gone up £4 for that. But he's already bettered his smart hurdle race form over fences. There is more to come, undoubtedly. And, well, for me, he posted a career best last time at Cheltenham, not beaten very far. He's still in the thick of it halfway up the run-in. Wasn't beaten far in the end. And he's going to be a tough nut to crack. As his Seventh Sky, who has had the misfortune to bump into the highly regarded Traffic Fluid. They think the world of it, Moors. They think he's going to be another Cider Grugy. That he's been second to him twice out of the last three and finished fourth in the Great Wood in between. So he brings a good level of form into the contest. And this is marginally a little bit easier than that. Very consistent and likeable horse. It's very difficult to split the three, isn't it? Because I think they've all got first rate claims here. I think it's going to depend upon the jumping. We've got the nine. I think Manuel Leshy would be probably the bigger price of the three horses we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. So I think I'd put him up each way and just hope that the track sort of plays to his strengths jumping and bounce back from that disappointing hurdle race. But it wouldn't surprise me any of those three, won it?
Yep. Okay, but certainly a good race to look forward to there.
Definitely.
At Warwick. The next up is the 4 o'clock from Warwick. Handicap hurdle over 3 miles and 1 furlong. 8 runners going to post for this Class 3 event. If all 8 stay in, it'll have a nice each-way feel to it, this one, Mick, because there are some pretty nice types and plenty of last-time-out winners. Rolling Mall and Heronshaw come here off the back of wins last time out. St. John Henry has won 3 of 4 this season. Cappard King looks like a horse going the right way, but A.P. McCoy doesn't ride him today.
He's gone to Chepstow, hasn't he?
Does, yeah. Which
Richie did ride him in a couple of his qualifying runs.
He did, but Cappard King has looked a new horse, if you like, in his last couple of runs. And although AP is going to ride for John Joe at Chepstow in JP's colours.
Yeah.
Whether he'd had a say in that or not, I wouldn't know.
I doubt it.
But there's still plenty of informed types here. And, well, it's actually quite a tricky puzzle to solve this one.
We've got 4 last time out winners there, the horses you referred to, Rolling Mall. We haven't seen him for 88 days. Didn't run since Cheltenham 1st of January. He's been freshened up since, I think, they might have half an hour in entry, you know. He goes actually well fresh after a break. So even though he's got top weight here and he's conceding £3 and upwards to the field.
Just a little bit of a pipe opener, maybe.
Maybe, because it is a toughie. Heronshaw.
Well, you look last year, ran on the 16th of December at Foss Lass.
Yeah.
Then came back on the 5th of May at Foss Lass.
Yeah.
Then, and finished third. 18th of May, so just 13 days later, very similar time frame to between now and entry, won at Market Raisin, easily.
Yeah, that valuable handicap hurdle.
No, maiden hurdle last year.
Was it maiden hurdle?
Then went on to win at Newton Abbott. So clearly, comes to form at this time of year, and they're just very mindful of the fact that he does do that, and he's clearly been campaigning for...
I don't think it's so much that they're avoiding the soft ground, because he's got 4 months. I think they're just avoiding the colder weather. I think he's probably a cold-blooded horse.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't thrive until the sun starts to appear.
And clearly, when he has his run back, he clearly sharpens up very, very quickly, and he's good to go again. So don't be surprised if Rolling Mall, no matter what happens here, does pop up
improves on it, can't rule him out. He's on the shortlist, as is Heronshaw, who went up 7 for his 9-length course win last time. That was over a furlong shorter. I think it was. It was either a furlong shorter or a furlong longer.
Last time out?
Yes.
It was over... can't find the form. Let's have a look. Heronshaw, yeah, furlong further.
Furlong
just
further.
Drops in trip.
Yeah.
Just ever so slightly.
He's a furlong back, yeah.
Yeah.
And it does mean he's a career best required, but he is fresher than most, only 2 runs this calendar year. So he's very much respected, Heronshaw. The conundrum, that is St. John Henry. What do we make of him? Up 11 for his easy bango win, but the race is improving. 124 may not stop him. You know, he's looked like 120 horse ever since he started winning, hasn't he? And then you down to Cappard King, who another one, he went up 11 for that Fakenham. He's been brilliantly placed by John Joe to win that little race at Huntingdon. Then he went to Fakenham, won by 5 lengths under AP. He started his handicap wins off 103. It was a very lenient mark after 3 qualifiers. Then he won off 1-0, and now he's up to 1-2-1. Can he continue the level of progress at a slightly stronger level of opposition?
There's not much not to like, but personally, I'd much rather AP was on board. I know that sounds really obvious, and it's nothing against Richard McLernan, but...
And it's nothing that AP could do anything about, because if he's got to go and retained owner...
From a betting point of view, if AP was on, firstly, he could be going off favourite without question.
Yeah.
As it happens, he still may go off, you know, close to being the market leader, but I just think, you know, he clearly built up a good relationship with AP, and I'm not entirely sure about his chances. This is a much harder race as well.
Yeah. I just think 1-2-4 may still underestimate St. John Henry. So he's just getting the vote in a very tight contest, Alex.
I mean, horse we haven't even touched on, Dawson City, Dream, Brownville, have had good seasons.
Yeah.
But we're going to go for St. John Henry there.
Yeah.
Okay, the pipe runner. In the 4 o'clock from Warwick, the final race we're going to look at, we're going to jump back 10 minutes to Kempton, to 3:50 at Kempton. Novices handicap hurdle, 2 miles and 5 furlongs the trip for this one, with 10 runners going to post. Certainly the weakest of the 3 races that we're going to look at.
It is, yeah. But the reason I chose it, because he had a decent each way shape. And no, we're not going to have any silly shorty team.
No, definitely not. Because if you look at the form figures down the left hand side, there's only 2 horses that have got a win in their last 6. That's Under the Phone and the Corruptor. And they're going back a fair while anyway. It's going to be open. But you are going to get some good each-way value probably on the market leader in this as well. Should we start with the bottom one here, Mick? New Horizons for Nicky Henderson. David Bass on board. Certainly looked a horse that... firstly, he's obviously not a stable star, but on his first 2 runs looked like he could have a bit going for him, but it's been pretty disappointing his last twice.
Yeah, and he's been away 53 days, whether tweaked something wind-wise. There's no tongue tie or anything. No pieces have appeared. No, I don't know. Maybe they've just given him a bit more time to come to him. He's only lightly raced, isn't he? And
won't need to be a superstar to win.
He will not off a mark of 100, because this will not take an awful lot of winning, Alex. So I haven't put him on the shortlist, but he is going to represent sort of good each way value if you do want to be Forgiving the last couple anyway. Definitely on the first 2, he'd have an outstanding claims in these.
Well, there's plenty of respected trainers in the race. We've already mentioned Nicky Henson. Alan Keane's got 2. Ben Pauling's got 1. Philip Hobbs, Paul Webber, Tom Simmons. You know, the sort of stables are there, but the horses aren't. Where are we going to go?
Well, let's go through the ones I've got. Lewis, who was a very disappointing favourite at Weatherby last time, but ran well this way around at Wincanton the time before. And maybe he may be worth chancing again, going back right-handed. It's only his 5th run over hurdles.
Got a lot of time for the trainer as well.
Yeah, so there is maybe a reason to stay with him. Kublai, trained by Philip Hobbs, Tom O'Brien takes it. His form's patchy and not evidently improving, but it's still relatively early days for this 5-year-old French bred, and he is in good hands. But I think, looking at the weights and the marks, I think Ride on Time, if the first time cheek pieces can just improve in that little bit, he was very well backed at market raising last time, didn't live up to it, but prior to that he'd finished 2nd in pretty testing conditions at Sandown behind the Martin Pipe, who looked a very decent old bidder, and who went off favourite for the Imperial Cup, didn't he, the time after. Was out of his depth there. And but it was still a good run. I know he was beaten a fair old way by him, but he still beat the rest off. And when you look at his mark, 104, think if that, if those pieces can just bring about that little bit more improvement, I think he's probably the handicapped horse in the race off 104. If you know, if he can reproduce that Sandown run behind Baduri.
Mm. Well, the two runs that he's had on ground with Good in the going was on debut at Utoxeter when finishing fourth, and last time out at Market Raisin when finishing fourth. That's sort of the closest he's got to the winner on both starts. So certainly, you know, you get horses that are completely different propositions on better ground. If he's been running all winter on soft, you know, claggy ground, and then all of a sudden gets this, he might go, hang on, this is, and cheek pieces, there's plenty in his favour.
Yeah, and arguably that piece of form at Sandown's as good as there is in the race, isn't it?
Yeah, that like you said, it won't take much winning. And
no,
if you're finishing second to a horse like Bidore, who granted disappointed last time, but prior to that had beaten quite a few nice types.
It was a big ask, though, wasn't it, in the Imperial Cup?
Oh, absolutely.
For a four-year-old?
Yeah.
Goodness me.
But so we're going to go right on time in that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Right on time, the pick at Kempton. Can you just spin us through your three picks? Yeah. Make the two at Warwick and the one at Kempton.
Yeah, it's competitive stuff, isn't it, on Monday. I'm going to take a chance in the Warwick 325 with Marwaleshi because he's back over fences and his jumping's his strong point. And if he can get into a nice rhythm down that line of fences down the far side at Warwick, he could well get his rivals in trouble. Although he's got two serious opponents there in Horizontal Speed and Seventh Sky. But I think he'll be a bigger price than those other two horses and could well reward each way support there. But he won't be far away, Marwaleshi, whatever happens. In the Warwick 4 o'clock, bit of a conundrum this. We've got four last time out winners in opposition here, and it's one of them, St. John Henry, who may still well be underrated by the handicapper off 1-2-4. Now, he hit him for his Easy Banger win back with £11, but he's only five, and the way he's improving, you wouldn't think 1-2-4 might not stop him. But keep an eye on Rolly Maul in this. He's had a break, an 88-day break, and he's a spring horse, so keep an eye on him. Not necessarily going to win that 4 o'clock, but wherever he goes after that. And in the very tricky 350 at Kempton, the 2 mile five furlong novices handicap hurdle, the application of cheek pieces for the first time by Ben Pauling on his runner Ride on Time sways me towards him. If he can reproduce that second at Sandown behind Baduri, he should surely play a part in that, getting weight off of his main form rivals.
Okay. Great stuff, Mick. Enjoy the action on Monday and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, okay, Alex. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.